is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damastis.
That's me. Listen to this.
Unwavering customer service and a dedicated commitment to excellence. They're one of the most professional and technically proficient heating and cooling companies in the Des Moines area, none other than Baldwin Heating and Plumbing. They set themselves apart by caring about their customers' needs and the raising the bar of keeping customers satisfied. Baldwin Heating and Plumbing is here for you, and you can call them today at 515-371-4036. You should also know about Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. I had the privilege of being able to see their facilities here in Des Moines, and they are running just an amazing operation. Leanna is doing a great job there, and they help with pregnancy tests, resources, ultrasounds, STD testing. They are providing classes and the foundations that young women would need in order to not just to give birth, but then to be wonderful parents as well. So you should know more about how to partner with their ministry as well. Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. Go to agapedsm.com.
So it's Life Tuesday. My name is Mike Damastis. That nice voice you just heard was Rebecca Haney.
Hi, everyone.
And Tim Overland, the director of Personhood Iowa, is in the studio as well. And Ron Carlson is producing today's show for us.
How's it going,
eh? It's going really good, eh? Here's the deal. This is it's kind of weird for me. This week is my last week in the studio, kind of on a whatever basis. I mean, permanent basis. So I'm stepping back, and Rebecca's kind of stepping in. So we're kind of in that transition, and you know, ours is a peaceful transition. There will not be any, you know, contestants.
No court hearings. The vote's been counted.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, and certified.
So it's all good here in the studios. But one of the things for me is each day this week, I just kind of wanted to leave a message that I think is important, something that's on my heart, you know, that I've tried to impress upon. You know, each day is different. As I've done this show, I've set up Mondays are always kind of either we talk ministry or we talk men's issues. And yesterday's focus was really, you know, something that's big on my heart, and that was prayer. And having my prayer life increase, being better at prayer, and I'm still a work in progress. I'm still in beta mode with that, and I'm, you know, I've got a lot of work to do. And today, something that I won't waver from is the issue of life, and this has always been, to be frank with you, my preeminent issue that's been impressed upon my heart. And so today we're going to kind of go back a little bit to just some basics. Maybe for you might be first time hearing some of this stuff, but it's critical. It's really important that this issue remain like in the forefront of our discussions as this culture around us is continuing to erode at every level. I don't believe, frankly, that God has called us to you know, first and foremost, be concerned about changing the culture. I believe that he is concerned about us changing each heart and mind that we impact or that we have influence over around us. That's what our primary focus should be. But in that discussion, no matter whether it's a talk about the broad scope of the culture or the individual face-to-face discussion that we have, I believe that life is important, and that not just that I have life, I want life, but it's fair for everyone. Everyone deserves the right to live. Everyone deserves the right to life. And so I've literally sliced out Tuesday of every week of this show to talk about issues related to life. And man, we've covered the gambit of this. And
I think we have.
We've talked about every stinking ministry that we can think of, and multiple times on some of them. And not just that, legislatively, we've talked about the issue of life. We talked about the issue of life from every angle that I can possibly think of. But it's such an important issue that it's one that never goes away. And I'll tell you, some of you have heard me say this, but I've always been pro-life, but it wasn't really sealed into my heart as strongly as it was before the year 2014. And that year I was blessed to be able to attend literally kind of a global trip with Governor Mike Huckabee and a bunch of other pastors. And one of the places we went was to Krakow, Poland. Krakow is a great city, by the way. But we went from Krakow, took a bus ride to Auschwitz. And being at Auschwitz was, it's like horrible and sacred all meshed in together. I mean, it's like weird. And walking the grounds, you know, most of the time I was there. In fact, for a long time while I was there, I was doing fine. And, you know, looking like you go into these buildings, they had rooms, like very large rooms that were filled up with like shoes and shaving cream items, or not cream, but shaving items and luggage and clothing, you know, and you're kind of just walking by looking at all these items. And the one room that I came to that literally was like somebody took a baseball bat to my abdomen was this room that was filled with human hair. As the people would get off of the trains, they would shave their heads, and they saved the hair. They thought, well, we can make netting out of this. And that's why they saved the hair, was to not lose any of it, you know, and even, you know, keeping the fillings in people's teeth, you know, the gold fillings, all of that stuff. It was quite horrible, and it was very macabre, but it was awful. And when I saw that hair, I don't know, I literally almost crumbled to the floor. And then, after walking and touring through all these buildings and seeing these things, they had us walk into the only remaining gas chamber where 1.5 million Jews were killed. They would go in, they would strip them down naked. They would go in, they'd tell them they're going to be showered. So they, you know, they're scared, but they weren't, you know, knowing they're going to their impending death. And they had a thing, they had developed it so efficiently, but they would drop these things from the ceiling of the building. They would drop these, I can't remember what it was called, some chemical, and then that would come out as a gas into the room, and slowly and, you know, efficiently, every single person in the room would be dead. And then from that room, there was a side door, and they would open up that side door, and they would come in with these bigger wheelbarrows, load in the bodies, bring them into that next room, where they would put their bodies into this furnace. And from the top of this building that we walked into, there was like these stacks where the smoke would come out of the top of them from the burning flesh. And they shared with us that the soil all over the ground there still had the contents of human flesh in ash form all throughout the soil. And in that whole area. And when, you know, when I walked out of that room and then we went to the place where they were blowing up the gas chambers, this was actually over at Birkenau, which is connected to Auschwitz. But anyways, when we walked over to these broken ones, there's this plaque, and I can't remember what it said. Sorry about that. But it was in every language that you can think of. There's probably 50 plaques. They all say the same thing, and they're all in different languages. And right there, Governor Huckabee gave a speech to us pastors. And most of us were weeping, including me, realizing that the smokestacks are still active. They're still going on, and we're ignoring it. The church is ignoring what's happening. In that moment was when I really was supercharged, if you could say, for the issue of life. Because we have to do something. We have to speak up. We have to do whatever we can to stop this slaughter. And it's so much more efficient than the Germans were. And they were very efficient. And the church isn't saying anything. The church isn't speaking out. And those that do speak out, those that do, you know, stand up and say, they're considered weirdos. Man, they're kind of fanatical. I don't want anything to do with them. And I just want to reverse that. I want it to be normal that the church recognizes the value and the sanctity and the, you know, the inherent just principled reality that life matters. And we've got to do everything we can to preserve it from that moment of fertilization all the way to the end of natural death. And all life is precious. So You know, today for me, and I'm taking up most of this first segment, but today for me is just to kind of review why that is and what you can say and maybe remember in an easy way how to say life matters. Life is important. And my two compadres here, Rebecca, Tim, they know this. They, you know, we know it pretty well. I say pretty well because I always mix up two of them. But but either way, it's a really simple way to just logically, you don't have to beat anybody up. I'm not talking about saying this with a bullhorn in somebody's face. I'm talking about a coffee table conversation with a friend who might not just be where you're at yet. They see the world differently. But hopefully this apologetic device that we're going to kind of walk through is going to help you in having that, I think, needed conversation that God wants you to have with another individual on this particular topic. Would you guys echo my sentiments?
For sure.
Amen and hear, hear.
So let's kind of get ready to set it up because we got, I don't know, there's less than a minute maybe, but I think that one of the things that I learned, and most of this, just this is not unique to me. This is Scott Klusendorf. This is, what was the title of the series?
Life is Best.
Life is Best. Yeah. What a great series. But it's just an apologetic for life. That's it. You're just basically, and I'm not saying I'm sorry I'm alive. It's you're defending life. That's what this is.
Being ready to give a reason.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what this is. And in that same, by the way, in that same discussion, always being ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. And I would say sometimes that needs to precipitate this conversation about life, you know, because it's easier for a person to begin to see the world anew when Christ is the ruler of that person's heart, instead of a person that's still living in darkness, not really able to fully comprehend things from a biblical lens. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the gospel conversation, I think, needs to precede this particular conversation. But we want you to be involved. And if you have questions, if you have thoughts, if you have, you know, I don't know, any input at all, we'd love to invite you. 515-727-5842. That's the number to call. Jump in on Facebook. We'd love to have you, and we'll get you on air. See you in a moment.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
Hey, check this out.
You care about your health, and because of that, you care about what you eat, and you should eat Animus Beef. Here's why. They have great nutrition, excellent value, and a great price as well. With Animus Beef, you get better health, better value, and top-notch beef. It's amazing stuff, and I know from experience. So mm-hmm. I invite you to try the delicious and never better Animus Beef. You can call David Animus directly at 515-238-7505. Thank you, Bessie. That's 515-238-7505. You should also know that Greenkeepers Lawn and Landscape, yes, because under all of that white stuff that we see across our lawns right now, there is still grass and there is still hope. But, you know, it springs eternal. But if you need snow removal, aerating, any sort of cleanup, lawn maintenance, they will work year-round to keep your lawn the envy of your neighborhood. Greenkeepers. Call Ignacio at 515-505-9866. Back to you, Mike.
Hey, thanks. My name is Mike Damastis, and that was Rebecca Haney. Tim Overland is here with us as well. He's the director of Personhood Iowa. We're talking Life Tuesday, kind of my final Life Tuesday, talking about the issue of life. By the way, just because I can't get off of this, I have to, with my lawn in the backyard when it snows, if it snows over 2 inches, I have to do this. I have to snowblow a path for Gus, my basset hound.
Well, when the legs are only that long.
Yeah. You know, and well,
He needs his room.
Yes, he's yep. got to have clearance. You got to have clearance.
You've never seen anything quite as odd as a basset hound trying to poop when there's just no room.
No room. No, you know, it's funny you talk about that. You know, you get your Facebook memories, right? And we've had snows recently in the last 4, 5, I guess maybe 6, 7 years where the snow was like up over your wheels in your car. So we lived at our old house. I had a Great Dane and a Boxer Mastiff that I had to shovel a path for. Yeah. That's how deep the snow was.
It's pretty bad. So.
We have a Husky mix, and she loves the snow. She won't come in. Gussie, she just loves to play.
Gussie does not like it. Last night, we do the final pee-pee every night. And I took him out to do the final pee-pee, and I opened the door. He walks out, turns around, and comes right back in.
Nope. Not doing it.
He went through the motions.
Get the paws going. My dog at home, he gets too cold. I'm like, well, hurry up, because you know your paws are going to get cold in about 30 seconds, so let's get this business done, because he'll start trying to stand on one leg.
Man. Gussie's, I think his attitude is, you know, I'll just pee in bed.
It's fine with him.
I know, right? He has never done that, by the way. I don't want to disparage my basset hound. Well, we're talking about the issue of life, and here's the deal. I want to give you a tool. Something that I think can help you in those conversations when somebody asks you, why is this issue so important anyways? Okay, here's what you can say. Just remember the word SLED, S-L-E-D, SLED. And that's kind of an abbreviation for a larger tool in defending life. And we'll talk about the first one, and that is size. S is for size. And so what does that have to do with anything? Well, some people say that abortion, you know, before 20 weeks, it's so small, it's not even real. I mean, it's not life. That's not a person, you know, because they're so small. And so what you have to do is then retort back with the idea that, so you're saying that life only is valuable if there is a large size. So how large does a person need to be when their life becomes valuable?
Right. Or does a larger person automatically have more value than a smaller person?
Exactly.
I generally like that when I walk into a room. I like this concept at 6'6".
Because you're gigantic.
So there's times where I start getting nervous if I have to start looking up the guy. Because if you go with this idea, it's a scary, chilling concept.
It is.
And the logic of it applies, and it will with each single step, that we would automatically understand how strange it would be to say that Tim at 6'6 is more valuable than someone like me who's at 5'3, you know, and not growing anytime soon.
Right.
Not higher anyway.
And it's really this concept, by the way, and you'll see this through the entirety of this discussion. This concept makes total sense when the child is outside of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But when the child, and we're going to get into this, but when the child is inside of the womb, this becomes more abstract and academic. And somehow we're able to you know, put things off in a way that we don't have to really see the person as a person.
And there's a sister tool, I guess, or a companion tool to this that you can also use called the Trot Out the Toddler.
Yes.
And so you can use this with all these steps we're going to talk about. You know, if we wouldn't say that it's okay to kill a toddler,
for
a 2-year-old,
this reason,
because they're smaller than a teenager.
Right.
Although I sometimes hesitate to use teenager as that level of development, because there's times sometimes if you've had teenagers where you're like, look, okay, let's
You don't kill teenagers for their size.
Their size, correct.
True.
Correct.
Yeah. Someone's not more valuable because they're bigger,
right.
Physically bigger. And so that would be the same from our earliest beginnings, even before we've been born.
Right. And that's the whole purpose of this first part of this, that size does not equal value, period. We know that already. We know that inherently in every other area of life. But when it comes to the preborn, it's also true. Doesn't just automatically change when it's postborn. It's still true preborn, and that's an important part of this discussion.
Well, the other thing you're talking about too, Mike, is there's another thing you have to accept for any of these to be true, and you have to deny science and deny the fact that the preborn are just in an earlier stage of development, which we're going to talk about, than we are. So that's why that trot out the toddler thing works, because you're showing the folks that there's no difference here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have to keep that part in mind.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, by the way, you're going to hear this from, if you have any discussions at all with people that are trying to defend abortion, you'll hear these arguments, and this is hitting all of the main, I guess, the four main arguments that you'll receive on this. And that's, you know, and I think it's really important to be able to respond to those things with these kinds of statements. So size is the first one. Size does not equal value. And second, the next kind of point on this, we only have a little bit, we're just going to introduce it to you. That is level of dependency.
Development.
Yeah, that's right. Dang it, I did it.
You did it.
I did it. I still, I switched the two. Yes. And so we're going to talk about this, and here's why. Because a pro-abortion, a person that's defending the right to have an abortion, is going to say, well, a child that's, a fetus, let's say it that way, that's under 20 weeks has not developed. They don't even have, you know, they don't have all the same functions that we have, they're not viable. That's a very good term. Yes. They're not viable. You hear all these all the time. And so this is going to help kind of push back on that a little bit. We would love for you, by the way, to jump into this discussion. 515-727-5842. That is the number to call. Jump in on Facebook as well.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
Hey, listen to this.
Iowans for Life is the longest-standing nonprofit pro-life ecumenical organization in the state. They were formed in 1972, and their mission is to advocate for the dignity of human life from fertilization to natural death. They work hard to defend life, and you should find out more about what they do. Go to iowansforlife.org, iowansforlife.org.
So, my name is Mike Damastis, and I'm the host here for a few more days. And Rebecca, who you just heard, Rebecca Haney, she is going to be taking over the host duties. And Tim Overland is here with us on my final Life Tuesday. He's the director of Personhood Iowa. Ron Carlson is producing our show today.
Hey, Mike. Can I, on this last Tuesday of the year that we'll be here, and you, can I send people to prolifechristmas.com?
Yes.
To get their person hoodies.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot. We usually go to Personhood Iowa.
It's so okay.
We're going to Personhood Iowa right now.
Really, that's kind of what I want to say is we've got some person hoodies left. We'd love to have get that cleaned out of the office. Got some other ideas for some
what
shirts.
What you mean is they make great Christmas gifts.
They make awesome Christmas gifts. Yes. So, yeah, we'd love to get those. They're very warm. They're very eye-catching. The colors work. They're good conversation starters. So if you do that, go check out personhoodiowa.com/donate as well to help us wrap up the year. That'd be awesome as well.
It's time for year-end giving, and that's a good thing to be considering to do with your funding, helping Personhood Iowa. So we've been talking about defending life, and we've started this with talking about the SLED idea, S-L-E-D, and each one of those stand for something. Size is the very first thing, and then level of development is the second one. And I just had pause because I had to make sure I get the right word there. Level of development, size, and then level of development, S-L. And Diane on Facebook said this.
My baby Ella was stillborn at 18 weeks. She was very much a person. She looked just like a baby when she was delivered. I also have twins that were born at 24 weeks, also very tiny, and they are now 6 months old, and they are all babies, no matter how small.
Yeah, and I know Diane personally, and I was there when baby Ella was stillborn, and it was a couple of things. You know, I just described Auschwitz in the first segment, and it was one of those moments like that. It was a horrible moment, and it was a sacred moment. And seeing baby Ella, she was beautiful, and she's very much, you know, fully developed, precious child, 18 weeks. No human can look at a child at that stage and say, that's not a child.
One of the things that I've got to do in a past job was we got to go tour the NICU at Mercy. And, I mean, you want to talk about an eye-opening experience. You know, they've got all these really cool pictures in the hallways of all these babies that they've helped, you know, that were born, you know, it's 24 weeks and mm-hmm. 23 weeks. And these babies are smaller than the size of a Coke can.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'd have pictures of these kids as they've grown. And, and it's just amazing. You know, and
doesn't Brittany Ruska do that? I mean, isn't she works there?
She works in the NICU and PICU. But
And we've had her on. She's a wonderful gal, and very, you know, important discussion to have with a gal like that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and it's just really, it comes down to, on the medical side, with kind of what we're talking about here, is if we just went back to the Hippocratic Oath, you know, where it says first do no harm,
right,
and the actual Hippocratic Oath that did not allow for abortion and euthanasia,
right,
this all would be a moot point. But
absolutely,
sadly, we live in a fallen world.
So, and the idea with the second point, level of development, is basically saying that this fetus isn't fully developed, and therefore it has no value. You know, and so it doesn't matter if you remove this thing from the womb. It's not fully formed yet. It's not done. And you know, and so I hear sentient being, you know, a lot thrown around.
Yeah, sentience.
And so a lot of times when you have this part of this discussion, people say, well, there's nothing there. There's, you know, it's still just a developing, you know, fetus. There's nothing there. And for that person, you know, they say that they're not a, you know, sentient being or whatever. Then, you know, you start asking, you can trot out the toddler, but you start asking questions like, well, what about a person in a coma? You know what I mean? What about them? Are we going to take their life too? And you need to know this. I mean, this is upfront. On every single one of these points, I have not only had the experience of, but I know that there are many people out there that will simply say, yeah, can. We can take their life. That's fine.
Well, and that's one of the arguments that you're going to run into is, you know, we're in our worldview, we equate that the child's life has equal value to the mother's life.
Yes.
You know, we don't put one's life. That's the whole point of this argument.
Because we believe that every person is created in the image of God and therefore has intrinsic value.
Absolutely.
That life is not a comparative thing. That you're not worth more or less because you're rich or poor, or because you have this skin color or that skin color, or for you're from this country or that place. And therefore, we believe the same holds true for levels of development as well, whether you're born or whether you haven't been born yet.
Yeah. What's interesting to me, not to keep bringing up Nazis, but they had this mindset that Jewish people were subhuman. They weren't fully human. And so it's nothing different than putting down a dog.
Well, they started their whole final solution started with some of the reasons that abortion is done in this country.
Exactly.
And it's for people that weren't going to be ideal, or people that were a drain on society,
that were in the way what they wanted. And that's
they'd first say people that were going to suffer. You know, that was the first way they started selling this whole notion.
Handicapped, disabled people,
might be
less
pain.
Able. And none of those really hold water when you stop to think about it. There are people who are very consistent, who will say, yes, you know, I apply this same ethic that says that some lives are worth more. But I think if you just let them sit with the consequences of that, and the more that you talk about it, the more that you think about it, you don't always have to go back to Nazis necessarily. But I mean, there are some very strong examples of where that worldview can lead. And it's not a place that you want to go. And it's not if your life were in the balance.
Right.
That's not the type of person you would want making those types of decisions either. So level of development, I mean, none of us are fully developed. Goodness.
Right.
That's why we're still here. That's
Speak
why we're kicking
yourself.
Around. Oh, you're there. You've arrived.
I'm
sorry. I forgot I was in the presence of perfection. Forgive me. But I mean, none of us are fully developed. So the question that I've actually asked people is, okay, well, if at what point do we become human? And then kind of listen to their answer. Sometimes people haven't thought about that. But if we're not human from the beginning, what are we?
Right.
If that's not a baby, if that's not a human being, he or she. What is it? What are we? Because I don't think we've really defined that. Mm-hmm. I think we've said what we're not in order to objectify and to cast aside. But we need to know exactly what it is that we're talking about.
Right. And you just, you know, just gender appropriated, by the way, in that discussion.
He or she.
So, size.
I'm working with a he. I am a woman who currently has within me a child that is identifiably male.
Yes.
So I know that's not me.
Anakin Aya.
He's advocated Star Wars names since he found out that we were pregnant.
Well, this was my wife's idea that the child should be named Obadiah and we can call him Obi.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah. I feel the need to apologize for you.
Oh, my husband likes it. We'll go that far.
So anyways, size doesn't equal value. Level of development doesn't equal value. And the next one, the E, is environment. So environment, basically the pro-abortion argument would be this, that this is in the womb. And there's a difference from being in the womb than being out here amongst the living, quote unquote. And so that environment, that place, you know, is it doesn't have the same rights, the same dignities, the same, you know, treatment as any human that's walking around living and breathing in our world.
Well, and this one and the next one is where you'll start hearing the terms parasite, which is just disgusting when you get in. Then you know who you're talking to when you start hearing those terms. But
it's also insulting because mm-hmm. you're talking about the mother's womb.
Yes.
I mean, that's where we all began.
Mm-hmm.
And if all of these things were true, are true about what they call an unwanted or unplanned child, then because no child, I believe, should ever be unwanted. And God always has a plan. But If we're talking about those people as being unimportant because of where they are situated, mm-hmm. then all of us were at that point as well.
Do you recognize how bigoted and, you know, you could say racist even, I guess, on this thing like this? I mean, mm-hmm. just say, you know, the same thing. Scott Klusendorf pointed this out. You know, what if they're from China?
Yeah.
Or, you know, China.
China.
You can't say that about any other society or environment on Earth.
No.
Because they come from that part of town. They're not fully human. No.
Right.
That's ridiculous. And we recognize that.
I think in the Life is Best series, they gave an Abraham Lincoln quote. Careful when you start defining value by the color of somebody's skin, because if we're going for lighter, the lighter you are, the more value you have. It's a degree of color.
Right. Slippery slopes.
We want you to jump into our conversation. Call us at 515-727-5842. We'll be right back.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
Listen to this.
You should know about a special place with two locations, both in the area, Inner Visions Healthcare Clinic, located at 1355 50th Street in West Des Moines, and also at 500 Army Post Road on the south side of Des Moines. At Inner Visions, you find help and hope. From free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds to free STD screenings and treatment, they are there for you. Don't wait. Get real help. You can call them 24 hours a day at 515-440-2273.
My name's Mike Damastis. The voice you just heard was Rebecca Haney, and she's going to be taking over hostly duties here on FaithWorks Live, which I'm very excited about that transition. A peaceful transition of power, by the way.
With a friendly handshake.
Yes, and very Corona, you know, inappropriate, but we're all about that here.
There's
in the
no
studio.
Germs on the elbow. We could do an elbow bump.
That's good for me.
Yeah, right. Tim Overland, the director of Personhood Iowa, is also in the studio. Ron Carlson's producing today's show. We're talking about, as this is my final Life Tuesday here officially, we're talking about the issue of life and just realizing that we need to do all that we can to make this issue preeminent in the minds and hearts of people that we are able to have influence over. And so I would encourage you to be at least writing some of this stuff down. And we've been talking about this apologetic tool called SLED. And as we work through that, the first point is size. You know, size does not equal value in terms of human life. And we talked about level of development. The level of development does not equal value in terms of a human life. And then we talked about environment. You know, just because the child is in the womb, inside the mother's womb, does not mean it has any less value. In fact, I would frankly try to argue that it should have more value in the sense that the mother's womb should be inherently the most safe place a human being could be. Mm-hmm. But in America in 2020, it happens to be one of the most dangerous and scariest places a child can be in.
Do we realize that about 25% of all pregnancies in this country end up in an abortion right now?
That's huge.
Yeah, our society is going to end.
Well, that's why I believe it's so important for us to understand these things. So SLE, and the D is degree of dependency.
Yeah.
Degree of dependency. So size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. Well, what do you mean by degree of dependency? So here's how this usually works out when the pro-abortion person is going to be arguing for the right to have an abortion. They're going to say that this child is totally dependent on the life of the mother. And so the life of the mother is so much more valuable because this thing, you know, you hear this term parasite, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. This thing is basically just mooching off of, you know, the life of the mom. And so it's, you know, it's totally dependent, as in any born baby, as in any 2-year-old child, as in really kind of me as a husband with my wife.
I was going to say, get Shannon on the line.
I mean,
aren't we all dependent on someone?
Yeah. So that's the key. And that this is probably, in my opinion, I think all of the arguments are weak, but this is probably one of the weakest arguments that they have to put forward.
I'm sorry, Rebecca. I had my first experience with cancel culture over this a few years ago. And if you guys remember the story, Rebecca, I think you were in Minnesota at the time, but there was a story on the east side. There was a couple that they were high and they left their 3-month-old basically to die in the swing, and they just neglected the baby to death.
I read about that.
And I didn't understand. I just used this degree of dependency argument. I'm like, wait a minute, you guys, this is just a fourth trimester abortion. What are you worried about? I mean, who are you to tell this woman that she has to take of her time and resources and all this stuff to take care of this child? That, and for a while I had people getting mad at me because they thought I was really making the argument. And then when the people figured out what I was saying and didn't like that, they started calling my job and that type of stuff. But it's what you said in the last segment, Rebecca. It's that slippery slope. We, as conservatives, we always get accused of floating that out there. Generally, we seem to be right in most cases. This is what your beliefs mean taken to their logical conclusion.
Well, and we understand how silly that is, how necessary it is as a mom, as a dad, that your life changes when you have a child. Yes, they are dependent on you, and that's exactly the way it should be.
Right.
Just as you were dependent on...
And it doesn't stop when they're born or when they're 18 or anything else.
They sort of expect that for the next couple decades, at the very least. And that's how God designed it.
I've been through 2 decades. Wait a second. Their time's up.
2 decades.
Get out.
Now you can kick them out. Yeah. Guilt-free. It's okay. But, I mean, we get that. We get how ridiculous that would be to say, well, yeah, just have the baby and then don't ever take care of it. And that would be incredibly wrong. Mm-hmm. And people get arrested, as well they should. Mm-hmm. But we must understand that. And as weak as it seems, Mike, this is one that you actually hear quite often.
Yes.
Because the case that people would make is, well, you shouldn't force a woman to have this other thing, mm-hmm. you know, that she would have to, this is going to change her life forever. Yes.
And it can't survive it on its own.
And,
you know, and so if it can't survive on its own and she has a different path.
And is therefore of no value to wider society, because the only thing that provides value to wider society would be what? What exactly? I mean, if we're making the determination from that value judgment, then what we're saying is only people who, have a 9-to-5 job are of value to society?
At a certain pay level, because, you know, of course, as long as you're not receiving any sort of assistance from anybody
Only people that, you know, what if I have a broken leg and I'm dependent on someone else to get me around, then I would be dependent on.
This is where the left, it just mind boggles me. And in terms of their hypocrisy and their inconsistency and belief, but dependency is what they're all about.
Right.
Well, and they say we should care for the least of these, yes?
Yes.
And they say that's consistent with Christian principle, and they work out their
Yes, because own they who know the Bible
programs.
So well tell us who follow the Bible how we should be following it.
Judge not, Mike. But at the same time, I mean, you're right, there is a huge level of inconsistency there. The truth is we're all dependent to some degree, and we're all productive to some degree. So to say that who
Speak
are we
Speak for yourself.
Hopefully I was. I don't know. Depends on the day. But truly, I mean, this is one that, like, I look into the eyes of my 2-year-old and I think I am changing everything in my life for you. My life changed when I found out you existed. Mm. And that's you can't have it any other way.
Right.
I can't imagine life without you.
I'm changing my plans to go to Tampa Bay for the inevitable Chiefs Super Bowl to go meet my grandson for the first time, because even though she can schedule when this child's born, it's still really close to the Super Bowl. So we have to make huge sacrifices for these children.
That's, and I appreciate that sacrifice.
I'm sure they do as well.
Wow. Well, I tell you, I think that this is a weak argument. There's many, many other arguments, but they don't kind of fall into the sled just tool. But that trot out the toddler is also a really important tool to say this. What if you won't do this to a toddler, you should not do it to anyone, including the preborn. And
that's, the elderly as we get closer to that, Mike.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, you know, again, coming back to this issue, the issue of life is so deeply ingrained now in my soul. I just feel like, you know, it's literally a burden that I want to do everything I can. I'm not pro-birth. I want children to be born. But we have a comprehensive pro-life worldview, and we understand the woman has equal value to the preborn child. And so we minister to her. We minister to her long after the child is born. We do everything we can to help them. Those that say we're pro-birther don't do anything, by the way, to be helping women that are caught up in unplanned pregnancies other than kill children.
I want to push back on that. You're absolutely pro-birth, as we all should be. Right. There's nothing wrong with being pro-birth. They say it is a pejorative that we're not doing anything else
after that, which
is garbage.
Right.
And it doesn't end there.
No, and none of us. And I think that is a stereotype of the pro-life movement that hopefully this show has helped to try to chip away at, because that's not what we're about. We're about looking at helping the young man that's involved, if he's involved, you know, and doing everything we can to support this woman.
Help him be involved if he's not involved.
Right, exactly. that's what being pro-life is about. And I think that the pro-life movement has changed over the years. You know, I do not support, never have supported somebody standing out in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic, slut shaming women that are walking in, you know, screaming at them. And that's not any good. That doesn't do any so ever. And so, you know, I reject that. But I do support the idea of doing everything you can to defend the life of the unborn, either through a conversation face to face with an individual in a loving manner, or just living it out.
And perfect time of year to remember how Jesus entered this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a holy thing.
So prayer matters. Life matters. And tomorrow we're going to find out that politics don't. So we'll see you tomorrow on Wednesday.
Tuned.